You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I got a new protein powder, and I hate it.
I've never had anything with protein powder in it.
It's like really foamy.
I've also never had a coconut. No, I've never had a piece of coconut before.
Like, wait, like, what do you mean you've never had a piece of coconut?
I've had coconut flavored things, but I've
you've
never
had like the actual coconut.
I've never eaten coconut.
It's got a weird texture to it.
Yeah.
Like it's, you're not missing anything.
Yeah. It's all right. Coconut's okay.
I like the coconut flavored body armor.
Blah.
But
that just, as a drink, a coconut flavored drink, just, I don't know.
That's good.
That.
I mean, there's an entire.
I don't like it.
Maybe
either.
It's just me. I hate orange, like fake orange flavored things.
Fake orange flavored things, terrible. You're right.
Even Gatorade? Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
really?
I'll drink it if I have to, but like I'm not going out of my way to get it.
It tastes like Tang. Orange Gatorade tastes like Tang.
Really?
Tang.
That's harsh.
Tang used to be good back in the day.
Yeah. Back when, like, Space Tang, that was good.
Yeah, with the orangutan on the front.
How freaky do you get with Gatorade flavors? Are you all the way out there? I'm an originalist when it comes to Gatorade. For me, it's fruit punch, lemon lime, orange. Those are the only ones that I drink.
The Arctic Blues are good.
Grape. All the grape flavored ones.
Good. The blue with the little... The
blue's the best.
The Glacier Blue. The one that has the berry flavor, not for me, Clive. But all like the one that's just like Glacier Blue or whatever, I don't even know what that is. It's just light blue.
It's like Riptide Rush, which is the purple one.
Oh, yeah.
Fire.
Really? Purple? Yeah. No, I'm not drinking anything that's purple.
I'm going to tell you right now. I submit to you, of all the things that are artificial supposed to taste like something else, grape is the flavor where artificial tastes better than actual grapes.
100%.
Oh, it's so bad. 100%. Are you kidding me?
What?
No, I'm with Amin. I think Fanta grape soda is one of the most underrated drinks going.
Oh my God. Oh, grape soda. Woo, put it in me. Oh. No, I'm telling you, it's everything else. The artificial doesn't taste anywhere near as good as I'd rather have a real orange than artificial orange. I'd rather have real cherries than artificial cherry. I'd rather have real strawberries than artificial strawberry for sure. But grape, I'd rather have artificial grape than actual grape.
Great. It's a great take.
What about wine? It's grapes.
The grape take.
Okay, so I saw this TikTok. It had like 400,000 likes. And it was this guy who said that he mixed cranberry Mike's Hard Lemonade with cucumber lime Gatorade. And the flavor was like something that he couldn't describe. And then this other guy tried it, and he tasted it, and he was like, my brain can't process this flavor. And so I think we should all try it. Maybe tomorrow someone bring in the Gatorade, someone bring in the Mike's Hard. I haven't had a Mike's Hard in like 12 years, but we could probably find one.
Cucumber lime Gatorade?
I need to know what it tastes like now.
Wait, where does one find cucumber lime Gatorade?
That might be the hard part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Publix, maybe?
Publix?
Yeah, maybe.
But like,
But
Publix says, I don't find that their like selection of Gatorade is that vast, where like I could find a cucumber lime.
Cucumber lime does
not sound
like
that's specific.
That's similar.
I feel like the rain one. You remember how Gatorade came out with rain, and we were like, what is this?
It
just diluted
clear.
Gatorade.
Yeah, it was like a Gatorade with water in it.
I love how hard Gatorade has
Gatorade.
I love how hard Gatorade has tried down the years to like reinvent drinking Gatorade. They always have a new product.
G2.
And right. Well, and then there was the one that was like, here's the prep Gatorade, here's the Gatorade while you perform, and then here's the Gatorade for after you've performed. And it's a whole system of Gatorade. It's
buy more Gatorade.
I'm sorry, lads. I just want lemon lime.
Gatorade
gummies. That's all I want. I just want lemon lime.
I want lemon lime in the glass bottle.
Ooh.
You remember the glass bottle? Stugatz.
Really?
It's a twist off.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had. My blood consists of 30% lemon lime Gatorade, and I don't think I've ever had it in a glass bottle.
Oh, glass bottle was a time.
The can is fantastic.
The can is hospital
can is very
drinks.
Good.
No, when you're at the hospital, you get that.
It's great taste. It's a great taste. They started to bring some of those in because of the pandemic. So at like Hard Rock Stadium, you would go and the Gatorade on offer was canned Gatorade, and it was wonderful. It's a great taste. Because the
Gatorade out of a can, no. Gatorade out of a bottle.
I'm drinking coffee out of a can this morning.
Hmm.
Disgusting. Candy. It's like water out of a box. I mean,
yep. Water out of a box is fine.
No, it's not.
No, it's bad. No,
cardboard it's bad. Taste.
Would you rather drink it out of plastic?
I would rather drink it out of plastic, yes, of course.
By the way, I have that top five list anytime you guys
ooh, punch, Amin's really? Top five pungent flavors?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ready?
Yes, please yes. do.
Okay, here we go. Number five, sourdough.
All right, we're off to a terrible start.
So sour. It's so sour.
What?
Sourdough that's bread?
Sour. I don't ever taste the sour in sourdough what? Bread. I know it has a
do
different-
do you have COVID?
It has a different flavor profile, but it's not sour. It's not like eating sour Skittles.
It tastes sour. It tastes like eating a lemon.
It's not like sucking on a Warhead.
It's exactly what it's like. Number four.
Oh, Warheads.
Warheads. Wow.
Do you guys remember when like your parents or like whoever, like the older kids at school would tell you that if you sucked on like the black Warhead, it would like burn a hole through your tongue or something?
Yes. Yeah, there was a lot of tall tales about Warheads, and I lean into the sour flavor. I love sour tasting things. I could eat a pack of sour Skittles every day.
Number four, cardboard.
He's got a point.
You were off on the sourdough, but cardboard, I'm with
he's
you.
He's on the cardboard, yeah.
Like, if it's in cardboard, you just taste the cardboard.
Wait, so like pizza in a cardboard box? You taste the cardboard?
No, without like water, for instance. Water in a cardboard.
When does that ever happen?
Water and cardboard?
Water and cardboard.
The water in a box we were just talking about a second ago. Number three, raw onions.
Everyone's saying raw onions.
Yeah, look, you know why raw onions? For two reasons. One, it's so strong as far as the taste, but also the texture. Blah. I don't like the biting into a raw onion with that crunch. Ugh, it's just weird. Don't like it. Number two, Christmas. And number one, and I can't believe neither of you guys, or all three of you guys missed this one, curry. Curry is so overwhelming.
It's so vague, though.
No, it's not.
That vague. That's not vague.
No, the curry powder, like the thing with, like you might, there's so many things you make with curry, yes. But curry itself has that unmistakable smell and taste, and you can't shake it. You can't shake it.
These are horrible lists, all three of them.
Well, where's your list?
Yeah.
Tony's
all right, I'll come up with a list.
I'll make a list of the list. We need two more people to give lists, and then I'll rank the top five lists.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Wait, so you're going to rank the top five list of the list given today?
I'm already number
yeah,
five.
Yeah, so I need a pungent list from you, Stugatz, and one from Roy or Billy.
Okay, I'm working on it right now. I actually am working on it right now.
Okay. All right.
I do want to discuss.
You do that.
Which means someone else needs to talk for a second.
You're definitely not working.
No. This will take me 3 minutes to put together, and I promise you, my list will blow away. It will be your number one top five list of the day, Jess. Okay.
We'll see about that, Stugatz.
All right, I got to Google.
All right. Okay, but while you type,
definition of pungent.
Can you mute your Zoom mic while you type? Because you've led the league in typing into your Zoom today.
Stugatz's sausage fingers just pounding on the keyboard. We can hear it from Miami.
Sausage pounding.
The unmistakable, huh?
Hell yeah.
The unmistakable sound of Stugatz typing over the course of today's show. Amin, how was your breakfast flan?
Oh, it was tremendous. I sang the breakfast flan song as Jack Palance on my Instagram. You should go check that out. Breakfast flan. Where can I find another breakfast like that? Where?
Still just
I'm
sounds
not
like
sure
you.
If I know who that is.
Jack Palance. Have you never seen Tango and Cash?
You don't know who
Jack Palance is.
I only know of Tango and Cash from this show, from all the conversations about it on this show.
How about City Slickers?
Oh, yeah.
No.
What about City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold?
No.
Phobe.
What?
Terrible movie.
So there are two movies on Jack Palance's filmography on Rotten Tomatoes that were made past the year 2000. So we're not off to a great start.
I see that he's in Bram Stoker's Dracula from 1974. That's the first thing that comes up when I Googled him.
Just called him Bram Stoker.
Hubba, hubba.
I think I found someone out in my research.
It's also a fine.
Wow. Efficient use of the mute function there, Stugatz. Well done.
Let's see here. So, no, there's got to be a movie that just...
No,
thank you.
I really don't think there is one. I don't think there's a movie in here. The original Batman from 1989.
There you go. You've seen that one, right, Jess?
No, I've never seen it.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You've never seen Michael Keaton Batman?
No.
How about Treasure Island?
No, there's nothing. There's nothing. I don't think Jessica has seen a movie with Jack Palance in it.
That's amazing.
Tony, why are you being dismissive of books?
I don't watch movies as much as you do, Amin. I watched a movie for the first time in like months, 2 days ago while I was trying to take a nap.
What'd you watch? Movie?
It was a recent one. It was The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Oh.
Sorry, the Sorkin picture.
It's not that recent, though, I think.
It's from like 2021 or 2020.
Was it? I thought it was pre-pandemic.
I think it was mid-pandemic. Yeah. I remember that movie coming out and be like, oh, new entertainment.
I think it was a streaming release during the pandemic. Yeah,
yeah, it was. It was on Netflix.
Sacha Baron Cohen was in it, though, and Jeremy Strong. Yeah. It was actually better than I was expecting.
I mean, but Jess, you don't watch movies at all? Not go to the movies. You don't watch movies? Like, you never turn on, like, Hulu or Amazon Prime and say, yo, let me watch a movie?
No, these days, I mean, I watch a shit ton of TV. Like, I watch so much TV. But I only will watch a movie if it's something that, like, my friends are talking about. And I'm like, oh, okay, like, that sounds good. I feel like I have a high standard for movies. And so I just, if I know something's not great, I usually just don't watch it.
There was a bit of a small trade made in the NBA just now.
Breaking news?
Yeah. Ooh, let me get the breaking news sound.
I mean, it's not that much of a
breaking news. Exclusive?
Yeah, I got these. Woj. Says that Washington is finalizing a trade to acquire Denver's Will Barton for Monte Morris for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Ish Smith. This will be Ish Smith's 13th team.
What?
I'm seeing the same story, but from Shams Charania. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Shams with the
report. Did one beat one by 41 seconds? Yep. And we have to... aren't you blocked by Woj?
No, I'm not.
You're not? Really?
No, it's the other way around. He blocked Woj.
I don't block anybody. I think I find it a childish
Will
endeavor.
Block.
Will block. What a callback.
Oh, Roy, it is his 13th team.
Will Barton is...
Why are you surprised by that with Ish Smith? Of course it's his 13th. Ish
I know, but like...
He's 13 teams.
His career started in 2010. Right. He's had more teams than years in the league.
He is the epitome of good enough to want, not good enough to keep.
Huh.
Mr. Right Now.
Rental player.
Yeah. He's played for Detroit, Washington, Philly, Phoenix, Orlando, Charlotte, OKC, Houston, the Pelicans, Milwaukee, Memphis, Golden State. Where's he going now, Roy?
Washington.
Washington.
No, he's going to Denver.
Going to Denver.
Oh, going to Denver. Right,
so
going to Denver.
So add Denver in there.
Yep.
I have my list ready, by the way.
Oh, wow. Very exciting.
Yes. Told you it would take me a minute here, and it's better than any other list that's been given today. I promise you that. Okay, someone put garlic on their list. Who does that? Seriously.
You don't think garlic is a pungent flavor?
No, I think it is a pungent, but it's a pungent, delightful flavor. Yeah, I love garlic.
Did I say that the list was pungent, shitty flavors? I just said it was pungent flavors.
I think we started by saying there are certain things that you will put on a sandwich that will ruin said sandwich. It will take something delicious, and the taste is so overwhelming that it ruins the thing that you actually wanted, you know?
Witty, are you okay? Do we need to do therapy again today?
What's happening today?
Yeah, Jim Lewis,
Dr. Gill. Office hours.
It went really well yesterday, so
yeah, we should do it again.
I heard yesterday's show was a big hit.
I love how Chris thought that because Billy is using this soft voice as a therapist saying, oh, tell us what makes you happy, Chris thought that meant he should talk in the same voice back.
It also felt like, and obviously it wasn't real therapy, but it made me wonder if Chris thinks that when you go to therapy, you just need to make things up to make the therapist happy.
You have to have something, though. You do, don't
you?
You
do, you do.
But you
if you're going to therapy, you better bring something
to
therapy.
True.
You have to. Put it on the poll. If you're going to therapy, you have to bring something to therapy.
You have to bring something.
That is false.
What do you mean?
So you guys are going to therapy and you're like, I don't really have anything. Let me just make some stuff up.
Right. An hour beforehand, you're like, I have some material.
I mean,
what?
You need to come to the therapist with material.
Yeah. Workshop it beforehand. Like you're in the back of the kitchen. Yeah. And the therapist
what always happens to me is I come into therapy and I'm heated. I'm like ready to talk some shit. And then I sit down and I'm like, you know, actually, I had a really good weekend.
You're like, you're driving there. Like, today's the day I'm going to unleash some shit.
I'm about to go off.
My therapist.
And then you get there and you clam up. But Billy, if you don't bring anything to the therapist, it turns out to be a staring game.
Plenty. Don't worry.
I know you do. I know.
He's not a fan of yours.
Therapist needs to talk.
Isn't it the therapist's job to pull it out of you, though? Like, you shouldn't have to be...
Yeah, you got
to
help him, though. You got to help him.
Yeah, you got to help him out.
But I mean, he likes to make the therapist work.
Yeah, earn your... Right. Keep.
Earn that money down. Yeah.
Right. So ask the right questions.
No, but I mean, you and the therapist looking back and forth like P. Diddy and that guy where they're just like...
I will say...
Just wait until somebody breaks.
I don't recommend bringing material to therapy. However, I mean, if you do wait for the therapist to get it out of you, you are wasting some of that time. Because if it takes like 9 minutes to get... To the heart of what you want to talk about, you've only got 51 minutes left of your hour to really get stuck into it.
But okay, so essentially they're just there to listen to you bitch about your problems.
Yeah,
no, well, yeah. Not
I mean, if you're signing up for therapy, you're signing up to discuss some sort of issue.
You're
with,
trying to
with
find the root
expert.
Cause of you right. know why things make you feel a certain way.
I don't know.
There was one time that I was telling my therapist a story about something that happened like at work, like on the Levitard show, and I was like, "Sorry, this probably sounds crazy," and she's like, "You know, I hear a lot of crazy things, but you're right. This is actually pretty crazy."
But you're already there?
I was like trying to explain a scenario with like all night. I was like, oh God, I don't know where to begin. Never mind. Forget
Start
it.
With
I'm
Billy.
Fine.
But it took you like a year to mention the show to the therapist. Like,
oh,
Roy, when was the first time you mentioned the show to a therapist?
I don't go to therapy. I keep it inside.
How have you survived?
I don't know, Billy. It's a miracle.
Woody's right, though. Time is money. You got to kind of just blurt it all out in the first 30 seconds or else it's like a waste of $50.
Yeah, but what if you don't have anything? Like, you're not certain you should be in therapy.
Those are the best days, Stugatz, because then you can just kind of like talk about whatever.
What do you guys talk about?
I'll schedule those days. I'm like, I want to get my money's worth. Like, it's okay. I'll see you next week.
Those are the days that you can unpack the childhood trauma. You don't have to think about what you have to say from that week. You can go all the way back to like when you were six.
Right. I do feel like if you have nothing for the therapist, you have to bring something, whether it's real or not, to the therapist.
You're telling lies to the therapist. You're like
real
making up
not.
Some tall tale about something that happened to you that was traumatic.
Well, why am I in therapy then?
Imagine if I'm not being Stugatz's therapist.
Oh my God. I mean, listen, there's only so much I can talk about, Dan. I mean,
your therapist needs a therapist.
Before I shift the mic, I mean,
I like the idea of Stu walking to therapy, but it's like weekend observations. He just has a list that he's reading. Like, what about that airplane seat, huh?
Doc, the Knicks are back.
Therapy is brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories, available for delivery.
This therapy session felt like hell. Speaking of hell.
I want that to become a finished product. Someone has me in therapy talking to my therapist with beeps as we get observations.
Mike is there with a soundboard just to punctuate each point.
Top five traumatic moments from my childhood.
At number five,
many died. Getting pantsed in gym class. Number four, Smitty died. Number three, the New York Knicks.
Number two, Christmas.
Number one,
asking Ludacris about his watch.
The death of Jerry Garcia.
That's it. That is it. Do you have the sound of me being hammered asking Ludacris about his watch at Shaq's birthday party? It's so embarrassing.
that was a remote, right? You guys were live on location.
Asking Michael Strahan about his divorce.
Oh, that was the worst. That's what happens when Dan leaves me to my own devices. Strahan yells at me. It was bad. That was the last remote Dan and I ever did. It was at Shaq's birthday party at the Hard Rock Hotel. It was at like midnight. I mean, you know me. First off, I can't stay up unless I've had at least 19 drinks. And so Ludacris came up. He was a guest. I came back to the radio booth, very professional of me at the time, double fisted with two Tanqueray and tonics because the seven I had before that was not enough. And well, this is what I sounded like talking.
How much does the watch cost, Ludacris? How much?
I don't know. I got it for free. That's a good question.
That's an indelicate question, right? You don't ask a woman what she weighs, and you don't ask a hip hop star what his jewelry's worth, do you?
That's why he'd let me ask this question.
You really don't.
I love how the entitlement drips out of you even in front of literally, let me ask the question.
Slurred out of
me. What was the first thing Sugat said?
How much does the watch cost, Ludacris?
How much there.
Tell him, Ludacris.
Is that?
I did shots right after that.
I couldn't.
Must have spelled crazy that day.
I couldn't fathom doing live radio drinking that much. Like it would be unsettling to be that drunk.
Right. It was midnight. I mean,
but
that's true.
You're still meant
that
to.
Doesn't matter.
It's not like people who are on the radio at midnight have licenses to like be slurring on the radio.
Why not?
Probably because your judgment would be so impaired that you might curse. That really is like the number one concern. There's still truck drivers that are out on the road that need to be entertained at midnight.
That's like, not like, entertaining?
What?
That
someone,
clip?
Someone slur? Yeah, I mean, like a 10-second clip of it is entertaining, but if someone talked like that on my radio for 3 hours, probably wouldn't listen to it for more than 5 minutes.
But Whitty, if you're listening to the local radio at midnight and you're accustomed to hear Ed Kaplan giving out, like literally pouring through a box score of a baseball game, okay, one player at a time, and maybe you're sick of that one night because you're tired of Ed doing that, and then some other guy comes on, he is Ludacris on the air, and he's slurring his speech. I mean, that's far more entertaining, is it not? That's what you expect at midnight.
Midnights were for Delilah.
Ooh, great shout. Great shout. Some read out love letters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice
soothing
voice.
You guys don't know Delilah?
No, what's Delilah? What's Delilah?
Delilah was always like someone who was there like to kind of repair, not a therapist, but
kind of like the Quiet Storm.
Plain white tees. Like,
Delilah was there to kind of like repair broken hearts. Like you'd write to Delilah and you're like, Delilah, I'm going through a really rough time with blah, 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 X, Y, Z. Like, can you please help me out with this?
Like Dear Abby?
Yeah, kind of, but like a radio version.
Oh. What happened to Abby?
She's right here.
Not that.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
I don't want to be too extreme on this, but he failed America.
Stugatz.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Hating that I'm doing this from home today.
Is Dear Abby dead? Does Dear Abby still exist? Is there a newspaper column with Dear
Abby?
The column
or the actual person?
Well, I mean, Abby was always nom de plume.
Really? No, it's a real person.
You think so?
Yeah. Dear Abby.
I think it was a real person under a pen name, but I think now it's
written by Abigail Van Buren. What are you guys talking about? I'm looking at a picture of her.
But her real name was Pauline Phillips under the pen name Abigail Van Buren.
My dad objects to a pet monkey. Dear Abby, I'm 19 years old. Oh, no, I'm 10 years old. And my daddy said that when I saved enough money, I could buy anything I wanted with it. All my life, I have wanted a monkey. I have saved $14. I asked daddy if I could buy a pet monkey, and he said no, because I wouldn't know how to take care of it. My mom is the fussy type. You know, everything has to be just so. Do you know anyone who has a pet monkey and can give me some advice? Signed, Wants a Monkey. Dear Wants, I've had two pet monkeys, David and Bathsheba. And
bullshit, Abby. Like, honestly, Abby has not had two pet monkeys. I'm sorry. I don't believe it.
What kind of...
When does a monkey cost 14 bucks?
What kind of vast life advice would you have to have in order to be like, funny you should ask about owning a monkey. I once did that. I've got some advice for you.
No, she's a topper. I had two. Right. You want one? I had two.
Wow, Dear Abby, a one-upper.
A classic one-upper.
Classic one-upper.
But you got to bring something to Dear Abby if you're going to write Dear Abby. Dear Abby's got to bring something back to you. I mean, that's
right. No, Abby can't write, sorry, never had a monkey. Can't help you here.
No, but listen to this. She said, I've had two monkeys, David and Bathsheba. And although I love monkeys, your father is right. To quote my son, he was four at the time, monkeys should live with monkeys and people should live with people.
Great advice.
That's actually really great advice.
Really good advice.
Really?
Is it really?
I don't know. It sounds a little.
Yeah.
Wait. Come on. What are you doing there?
She's not with us, I don't believe.
No, but her daughter took over.
Yeah, but who brought her up in the first place?
Wait, hold on.
As if she was still with us, only because it's a $50 fine. That's the only reason I ask.
Hold on. Ask Ann Landers. Ann Landers was written by the twin sister of the one doing the Dear Abbeys.
The original Dear Abby, Pauline Phillips, is indeed no longer with us. She passed away at age 94 in 2013.
Oh. Her twin sister, Epi, was Ask Ann Landers.
So, to answer my question, is the Dear Abby column now dead?
It's not, right? Her daughter took it on. Yeah.
Right.
It's continuing, as Abby.
Interesting.
She assumed it.
Yeah.
I have my list here if you would like it, by the way.
We should all ask questions of Dear Abby and see if it gets printed in the newspaper.
You want to do it? How about Abby, my Abby, responds to your questions?
Ooh. Oh, new segment. Dear Abby, starring Abby Wiener. I like this. I like this. Hold on.
Witty, what would you ask Abby?
I know you like this.
Abby Stugatz's wife or Abby just generally?
Dear Abby. You're asking Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Right.
I'd have to think about that. I mean, really, at the moment, it's mostly about just like, hey, Dear Abby, can you tell me where Stugatz is going to be tomorrow?
Signed what? A concerned producer? Dear Concerned.
What? If you could ask my wife a question, what would the question be?
Where are you going to be tomorrow?
Well, I know your question. I know what you... By the way, I'll be in Foxborough for a dead show. I'll be back in a week or so.
Is that real? Are you really?
What?
You're going to Foxborough this weekend?
Perhaps. We'll see.
Stugatz, do you ever get tired? Isn't it the same show every single time? Or are they?
No, the reason I continue...
Right, Smitty was at Wrigley Field. It was a fantastic show. I don't know if she went the second night. Yeah, it was such a good show. But no, the reason I continue, I mean, I would not go to the same concert every night. If it was, if they were playing the same songs every night, there's no way I'd go.
So
I'd go when they show up in my backyard, right? But the fact that the Dead could play eight consecutive nights and do eight totally different concerts is what makes the Dead the Dead, and that's why I continue to go see them. And so there are certain songs, set lists, things that I've missed throughout the tour here that I quite frankly, I don't want to miss. And so that's what brings you back. It's like, hey, I didn't see China Ryder yet. I got to go see it, you know?
Stu, we definitely saw the best set of the last 2 weeks on Friday in Wrigley, right?
Yeah, Friday first set, yeah.
How do you know?
First and second set, I guess. It was a great concert.
How do you know?
The one in Indiana last night, not very good. Glad I didn't.
Not very good.
I mean, there's a website called setlist.fm, which gives the set list that every single.
And they post the time that they come on stage and the time they come off the stage.
There's a website that gives every single artist's set list in every show that they do.
Wow. But I mean, that's what makes this band so special and so unique is that, especially back when Jerry was doing it, they would do 14 consecutive nights at Madison Square Garden and you wouldn't hear the same song twice, not one time. 14 consecutive shows. And so that's why, you know, that's why I love this band. So to answer your question, yes, you know, Bethel Woods, New York, and Foxborough are places. I'm not saying I'm going yet. I'll have to ask Abby. But what I am telling you is that is something I am considering for this weekend. I am considering going to Woodstock to see the Dead and then going to see Foxborough. But it's 4th of July weekend. I mean, listen, Whitty, you don't care what I do on the weekend. You only care what I'm doing Monday through Thursday, right?
That's all I want to know.
All right. I mean, the weekends are mine, right?
Indeed. As they are everyone's. also, your 4th of July is yours. You may do whatever you wish.
Oh, we're off Monday, right?
We're off Monday, indeed.
Yes. Yes. And we're headed out to Tahoe next week. I'm very excited about that.
Yo, so the show is going to be doing some lots of Nevada-type activities. You guys are going to be in Tahoe. I'm going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada for Vegas Summer League.
Nice.
Real excited for that, guys. I'm telling you, Summer League is my favorite thing on the NBA calendar all year long.
Well, why? Why is that?
Because
it's in Vegas?
Well, I mean, being in Vegas obviously helps a lot. But also, Stugatz, it's because everyone's there. It's like one-stop shop. Like, you could go see all the legends who are there in the crowd. You see Larry Bird just walking around. You see Isaiah Thomas in line getting a hot dog. You see... Yeah, you see Chris Mullen cutting it up in a corner. It's beautiful, right? And then you get to see these players who are going to be the stars of tomorrow. I've seen Giannis play in Summer League. I've seen Steph Curry play in Summer League. I've seen Linsanity happen at Summer League. He bested John Wall in a Summer League game, and people went nuts. And this is when no one had ever heard of him. So it's just a great kind of basketball meeting point. And you know what? For the fans, $40. All-day ticket. You go to as many games as you want. General admission. It's the best deal out there.
So we're going to Tahoe this year. It's our second year there, and I'm very excited for it. I think we're playing with Golic this time around. Now, I thought, Whittingham, through our friend Nick, that I would be in the main tournament. I have been told that I'm doing exactly what I did last year, which is I am playing a single round, the practice round, on Wednesday. What I am trying to do, and perhaps you can help, okay, is I am trying to play me and Golic 1v1. The winner plays into the weekend. The loser goes home. Now, trying to get that clear with NBC, I think our listeners would enjoy that. They could bet on it at DraftKings. But I'm struggling with NBC to get this clear, but I'm trying to make it happen.
Mike Golic works for NBC, so I feel like they probably want an NBC person. Does he not do shows with Pro Football Talk, Jess?
No, I don't think so.
I think he does a weekly hit.
Oh.
Hold on.
But so Stugatz the entire time with this Tahoe thing has been making promises and has been telling me things that he ends up not doing. So last week I showed up in the kitchen and you were telling Greg Cody that he was going to play with us. And then now I have to tell Greg Cody he's not going to be playing with us because he is not making the trip this year. You also said, I'm going to try and get into the main tournament. And then when I ask our friend at NBC, is Stugatz going to be playing in the main tournament? He says no. Because we have our field solidified. I don't run the tournament. A tournament director runs the tournament. So there's all kinds of things that Stugatz is trying to do that don't get done because they are, as they would say in Spanish, urinando fuera del tiesto.
Oh, no, listen, it's Greg idea. Cody.
Translation on that.
Greg Cody wants to play, and perhaps I did tell Greg Cody that he could play. In fact, he offered to pay his own way. That's how badly he wants to be there. And I'm okay with that if you can make it happen. But here is the job of the executive producer of the Dan Lebatard Show with Stugatz. I make promises that I can't deliver on, and then you break their hearts afterwards and explain to them, Whittingham, why they are not going. I just promise people everything. You have to then come in and tell them the truth.
But hold on.
Okay? That's Stugatz, how this dynamic works. Right?
Stugatz, if you're going to play a round of golf, wouldn't you want it to be with someone that you don't know and could play a round of golf with at any time? Like, you could play with Mike Golic. You could play with Mike Golic anytime. You should go find someone like, oh, wow, this person who I'd never, ever get
there
to
is
do.
There is actually somebody in the group that represents that. This year, last year, the celebrity Stugatz was paired with was Philip Bailey, the lead singer of Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Remember.
Yeah, lovely man. It's fantastic. This year, It is WWE wrestler The Miz.
Oh, The Miz. That's my buddy.
Really? I'm playing with The Miz?
Playing with The Miz.
Fun guy.
Billy, why are you so excited that I'm playing with The Miz?
The Miz is awesome. He was a guest on ESPN's Number One Challenge podcast. I like him. They're always pitching him for stupidity also. And I always said, oh, Stugat said next time. And every time it's like, well, Stugat said next time. And they're like, well, you've told us this six times in a row. Is it next time yet? I'm like, Stugat said next time. We got Jabba this week.
Let's get The Miz on next week, though, because I'm playing golf with him, okay? Let's get The Miz on. I'm trying to think of a game I could play with The Miz. Miz or Miz not?
Miz or Mizn't?
Miz or Mizn't. I have a list here on top five. I also want to blast Freddie Freeman. Oh, yeah. What do you want me to get to first?
Oh, that fraud.
Let's do top five list first.
I wanted to blast Freddie Freeman. All right, top five. What are the top five lists we're doing today?
Pungent
because they've
foods.
All been terrible.
Pungent foods.
All right, number five, wasabi. Pretty good, right?
It's a choice, though. It's not like you have a sandwich and they put wasabi in it.
Is wasabi a choice?
Yeah. You have to actively seek wasabi. It's always on the side, isn't it?
I've never had a food that came with the wasabi already on it. The wasabi is always on the side. You dip
all
it.
Right. Yeah. It's my list. Number four, ginger.
Naming a sushi plate here?
Perhaps. Number three. Cayenne.
Oh, come on.
Mm-mm. No?
It's a seasoning. Yeah. It's a seasoning. It's not a food.
And it's also not over, I don't know, it's not overwhelming like that. But go ahead. Continue.
All right, my list sucks. Number two, cinnamon.
That's a good shout.
Okay.
Thank you. And number one, peppercorn.
No.
So basically just pepper.
Number one.
Yep.
It's the number one overwhelming pungent. God. Pungent? Do you think peppercorn is pungent?
I do think peppercorn is pungent, yes.
That's a terrible list.
It's not a great list.
Yeah, that might be the worst list. That's worse than Woody's list.
Well, Jess will write the list at the end.
We need one more, right? One more person has to submit theirs.
Who else has to go?
Does Roy or Billy want to submit a top five pungent foods list?
Sure, I got one.
All right, Roy's working on it. You have it at the ready?
I'm trying to decide what a number one should count, but I have it.
Okay. All right. Let's go for it then. Roy.
Okay. Number five is garlic. Number four is bell peppers.
They taste like water.
They don't taste like water. And it does have a pungent taste to it. Number three, green onion. More of a tie with, actually, I have my new number one. But number two is Christmas.
Christmas.
And number one is shallots. Shallots replace vinegar.
Hmm.
Well, then wouldn't vinegar be number two?
Yeah, like,
it doesn't count because it's not necessarily a food.
Roy, you stood on this platform saying that cucumbers, vinegar, and as a result, pickles are all horrible, awful, overwhelming. Oh, it makes everything taste like it. And when given the opportunity to have any one of those three on your list, you went 0-3. How is that possible?
Because I forget. That's why. I forgot.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Jess,
do you want to rank the list right now, or do you need some time here?
I think I'm ready for the top five. The top five list of top five lists for most pungent foods.
Should we save this for later? I feel like
all right, we'll do it in the post.
We should build some TSL. Stugatz, what do you got for Freddie Freeman?
What I have for Freddie Freeman is this guy is an absolute fraud. I am serious. Like, Freddie Freeman, who was from L.A., okay, who grew up a Dodger fan, for Freddie Freeman to do what he just did over the weekend is patently absurd, okay?
Tell the people what
Freddie
he did.
Freddie Freeman Tell was a free agent last year, his final year with the Braves. And Freddie Freeman decided that he wanted to go out to L.A. Why? Because, again, he's from L.A., Why? Because the Dodgers are really good. Why? Because the Dodgers offered more money than the Atlanta Braves. Why would Freddie Freeman, okay, not want to play for LA? They have the most money. They have the best team. They're competing for a World Series every year. I know Atlanta is as well. But for Freddie Freeman to make his return after signing with the Dodgers, and again, it was Freddie Freeman who signed with the Dodgers, nobody else. Not his representatives, not his agents, okay? For Freddie Freeman to come home to Atlanta for the first time since he's left, to receive the standing ovations that he received from the fan base in Atlanta because they fell in love with Freddie Freeman, and for him to fall for that, and the next move he makes is to fire his agent, okay? Like it was his agent's fault that he signed on the dotted line with the LA Dodgers. Give me a break. If I am a Braves fan, I'm reading right through that. If I'm a Dodger fan, I'm upset because what Freddie Freeman is now telling you is, hey, I never wanted to be out here in LA in the first place, even though I did, and I signed the contract. I wanted to stay in Atlanta because that's where I built my career. That's where I built my reputation. The fans out there care about baseball more than they do so in LA. I wanted to be a Brave for life. For him to say all those things after the fact and then not take any accountability, not blame himself, zero responsibility, he blames his agent. Listen, some of us have agents, and agents will negotiate for you. But at the end of the day, you have final say as to what it is you're going to do, how much money you're going to make, what city you're going to live in. That's not up to the agent. He doesn't get to sign the contracts for you. He only gets to negotiate what he or she thinks is the best deal for you. That's the agent's job. It is then your job to make a decision as to where you want to play. And Freddie Freeman decided that he wanted to play out in LA. He decided that he no longer wanted to play in Atlanta. He decided that he wanted to play for the Dodgers. He goes home, he gets a couple of standing ovations, and what does he do? He fires his agent for something his agent didn't do. Freddie Freeman did it. His agent did his job. Freddie Freeman did not do his job by signing said contract if indeed he wanted to stay with the Atlanta Braves. He should be ashamed of himself. Don't blame your agent, blame yourself. And if I'm a Dodger fan, I start booing him. And I start booing him on this homestand. Yeah. Because Freddie Freeman just slapped you in the face. You know what he told you? Billy, you know what he told you. He said, I don't want to be here. I wanted to stay in Atlanta. I never wanted to play with Clayton Kershaw. I wanted to stay in Atlanta and be a Brave for life. Freddie Freeman should be ashamed. I'm serious here. It's not the agent's fault. It is Freddie Freeman's fault. He's in L.A. The agent did his job.
Man, Abby must really be hating her life right now.
Yo, Stu Gatz just said, basically, it was the agent did his job. Freddie Freeman didn't do his job 500 times in a row there.
Right. Yeah. Well, you got to really hammer home the point, I mean, when you're giving a hot take. So you got to say the same thing like 17 different ways, okay? Just throw in a different word, a different cadence, a different thing. But you have to reiterate your point and hammer home your point.
Stu, that's how you put the hammer out of business, yeah?
Exactly right. And Mad Dog.
Rest in power.
Yo, here's the thing. I thought we were going to talk about Freddie Freeman showing up to the press conference and then saying, I need a moment, and doing the whole walking and crying thing.
Well, that's crocodile tears.
Oh my God. I watched that and I said to myself, bigger fraud, Freddie Freeman or J.J. Watt? And I can't answer that question, Stu Gatz. Wow. I really don't know. I think he surpassed J.J. Watt.
I think you're probably right. I mean, J.J. Watt, my only issue with J.J. Watt is do it when the camera's not on. With Freddie Freeman, you are right. This whole dog and pony show the entire weekend in Atlanta. Oh, I care. I'm upset. I never wanted to leave here. I'm crying. You loved me. I loved you. Get the hell out of here. He's from L.A. He's a Dodger fan. He wanted to play for the Dodgers. And who does he blame? He blames his... Rather than stand up and say, hey, Braves fans,
I made a mistake.
I gave you everything I had for a decade. I wanted to go home. I wanted to be a Dodger. What does he do? He fires his agent. Agent did nothing wrong. Agent actually got him more money than was offered from the team that he apparently Stu Gatz, loves.
Did the agent do his job?
Yeah, he did his job. And did
Freddie
it well.
Freddie did not.
Yeah. I mean, you can make the argument Freddie did his job so well that he got multiple offers from the Braves, from the Dodgers, and other teams. But in terms of final decision-making, that is Freddie Freeman's decision to make and no one else. And he clearly told you, hey, I want to play out there. I don't want to play for Atlanta. And he goes home to Atlanta and he puts on a whole dog and pony show. Get the hell out of here.
Dog and pony show.
It's not a dog and pony show?
No.
Well, you believe he still wants to be in Atlanta? Because if he still wanted to be in Atlanta, he would have signed with Atlanta. Why am I yelling at Roy?
Yes, why are you yelling at me?
that was a show just to get back in good graces of the Braves fans who may have had the ability to be upset with him for leaving for right. more money. The thing is that he forgets that he has Dodgers fans that he needs to be catering to now. And it's not Braves fans. And he was going to get that ovation probably anyway. Like, there would have been like three or four Billy Gills there booing him for leaving for more money, right? For the most part, most of the people would have liked him. So he didn't need to go through all of that. Because now he's pissed off Dodgers fans. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm telling you, he's pissed off Dodgers fans, and he's pissed off me. And I'm not a Dodger fan, but if I see Freddie Freeman, I'm going to boo Freddie Freeman because I do not believe that that was real. I don't believe it. I think Freddie Freeman wanted to have his cake and eat it. Mm-hmm. He wanted to get his money, and he still wanted to be beloved. Mm-hmm. And he played his cards wrong, and now he should be universally hated by everyone, by the Braves fans for betraying them, and by the Dodgers fans for being an ingrate and not appreciating the mm-hmm. money and the opportunity.
I'm with it. I'm with you, Billy. I think we should all boo Freddie Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Every stadium he shows up to, especially Atlanta and in the Chavez Ravine, Dodgerville or whatever it's called.
Well, Braves fans love him. I mean, they gave him standing ovation.
No, they should boo him. They should boo him because Billy's right. He is just trying. You know what he was trying to do? He's trying to cut him off at the pass. Hey, you guys are going to boo me. Well, before you can boo me for leaving you guys high and dry despite us winning a World Series, let me just start crying in the press conference. Oh, it's so emotional. Give me a second to compose myself. And then when I get out there, like, oh, I wish I had never left. He let the groundwork there to bamboozle these people. Well, guess mm-hmm. what? You thought the Atlanta fans were dumb and gullible. They're not. Mm-hmm. They listen to this show right here, and they know. Their eyes have been opened. Baseball Illuminati is coming soon, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
And when it drops, we will expose Freddie Freeman for the fraud he is. His name is Freddie Fraudman. His name is Fraudy Freeman. His name is Fraudy Fraudman.
Mm-hmm.
Doing and Jackie's name is the Fall Guy. I mean, how about that? I mean, it is unbelievable. And I don't want to hear about Matt Olson. I do not care. They signed Matt Olson 4 days before Freeman decided to go to L.A. You want to know why?
Why?
They saw the writing on the wall. They knew Freeman was leaving to go to L.A., so they signed Matt Olson. What else are they supposed to do? That's what a responsible organization does. Mm-hmm. They sign your replacement because they see the writing on the wall. They sign your replacement before you actually leave. They forced his hand.
They cut him off.
Braves.
They cut him off at the pass. He tried to cut off the fans at the pass, but guess what? He got cut off at the pass by the Braves a mm-hmm. few months early whenever he signed that deal.
Bravos is more
the Bravos.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Light spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Light, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.